All right, can I have a couple people help me with the communion? As we celebrate the Holy Communion, we look at the body of Christ and we identify the different things that happened to Jesus. And Paul told us, he said, the only reason that Christians are sickly and die early among you is because they do not discern the body of Christ. So, we can expect that if we do discern the body of Christ, we can expect healing and health in our bodies. One thing we need to understand when we look at this bread, we're looking at the body of Christ. And we need to look at the different things. So the first thing we're going to identify is that this bread, called matzah bread, is made without yeast. That's important. Yeast is significant of sin in the Bible. And we know that Jesus' body is and was 100% without sin. He never made a mistake one time. So we're looking at the perfect sinless body of Christ. We'll notice that this bread has been beaten and pounded flat. Jesus' body was beaten and bruised for us. He was beaten for our iniquities and bruised for our transgressions. You also notice that there are stripes in this bread. The Bible tells us that it's by His stripes we were healed. You'll notice that this bread has holes in it. It's been pierced. Jesus' body was pierced, not just when He got that spear thrust into His side on the cross, but He was pierced when He got a crown of thorns. His body was pierced when He got nails in His hands. His body was pierced when He got nails in His feet. And every time His body got pierced, He shed blood on purpose. And we get redemption in certain areas for that. You'll notice that this bread is slightly burned. That means that the full wrath of God's fiery judgment, the judgment that was meant for us, was laid on Christ when He was on that cross. So we can picture Jesus on that cross, taking all of our sins, all of our sicknesses, all of our shortcomings, all of our transgressions, every part of the curse for us, every part of the judgment that was meant for us was laid on Him, so that we can enjoy the blessings that He deserved. So we're taking of this broken body for our healing. Our well-being, we thank You for it in Jesus' name. The blood of Jesus is so perfectly pure because it had no sin in it. And that's the reason that the blood of Jesus is still alive. See, if we bleed, our blood dries up. We have sin-tainted blood. We have Adam's blood coursing through our veins. But not Jesus. He had the blood of God in Him, which is absolutely perfectly pure. And it's because that blood being so pure, that's why it doesn't die. And it's still doing what God sent it to do. It's still washing away our sins. 1 John 1:7 says that the blood of Jesus continually cleanses you from all sin. And it's because of that blood being so pure, it could wash away all of our sins and put us in right standing with God. Thank You for that blood of Jesus. Thank you. Open your Bibles up to Psalms chapter 37. You know, have you noticed we seem to be living in biblical times? There's a lot of things happening. There's earthquakes, floods, fires, wars, rumors of wars. There's a lot of stuff happening right now. But we're going into a whole new dispensation. The earth is going through a birthing pains right now. I don't know exactly how we're going to get there, but we're going to get there, and it's going to be good. Psalm chapter 37, verse 34. Says, wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. Right now, we're seeing the wicked being cut off right now. Right now. Now, that word wait can be taken two ways, and you need to pay attention to which one you're paying attention to. See, a lot of people think that word wait means to just sit on your butt and wait for something to happen. No. That word wait means we're serving God. You know, a waiter gets a platter and they're waiting on somebody. We're serving God. That's what we're waiting. While we're waiting for this to happen, we're waiting on God. You see? While we're waiting for this to happen, we still got stuff to do. We're not going to sit in the easy chair and wait for things to sort themselves out. We're going to wait on God. We're going to serve Him. We're going to do the things that the kingdom needs to be done. Now go up to verse 11. It says, but the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. We're fixing to take over this whole world. Not as a government of Americans or Russians or China, but you know, you got to realize that the government is going to rest on Jesus' shoulders. Amen? And how he gets all this done, can't even imagine. But it's going to happen. You know, and eventually we're all going to come together in the unity of the faith. So that's going to make it easier to name churches. That's just going to be the church. It's not a Baptist church, it's not a non-denominational church, it's not a Pentecostal church, it's not a this or a that, it's church. It's a church building. That'll be pretty cool, won't it? Jesus is going to show us a lot of things that we really didn't know. We're going to be one body. Amen. And we'll figure out all these things that we've been arguing about for all these years have been non-essential scruples. Yeah. We're going to come together in the unity of Christ, the unity of the faith, one body, one faith, one baptism, one Father. Praise God. It's going to be a fun time. We're going to live in peace. Can you realize that in the last 250 years, there's only been like 12 of those years that this country hasn't been involved in a war. Wouldn't it be wonderful to live in a world where we weren't blowing each other up? That'd be good. But it won't happen until the meek inherit the earth. See, there's some people and institutions that need to be removed, and it's happening. But at the beginning of Psalm chapter 37, the psalmist laid out some directions for us to get to this spot. We'll start at verse 1. It says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity." See, there's a lot of people that have made a lot of money, that have gained a lot of power, they've gained a lot of influence, they own a lot of property, and they're completely evil. But the psalmist just told us to fret not, didn't he? To fret not. Literally, don't be anxious about this. Don't worry about that. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, "Be anxious about nothing, but instead, pray about everything." You know, what good is it going to do you to worry about all this money that these evil people have? All the land. You know, a lot of people are mad at Bill Gates. He's bought all this farmland. They're worried about it. They're fretting about it. They're anxious about it. Is that going to help you? Doesn't the Bible say don't be worried? Don't worry. You know, worry robs you of your health. It robs you of your peace. It robs you of your faith. And it's a waste of your time. Especially when you look at the challenge through the eyes of faith, that worry can be dismantled. You know? Don't worry about it. I like that song Iggy Marley sang, "Don't Worry, Be Happy." That song drove me nuts for the longest time. But you know, sometimes some of the simplest things. Don't worry, be happy. You have a choice. You have a choice. You can worry about what's going on and be miserable. Or you can cast your eyes on God and be happy. But it's going to be your choice. One way or the other. You know, the environment around you is the same for everybody. And you know, you can look at this Bible and you notice, what do you see? Some cowhide cover. I see a real pretty cross made out of buttons and leather, and it's designed. It's really cool. We're looking at the same book, right? We're looking at the same Bible. I'm just looking at it from a different perspective than you are. See, how you look at things is going to design how you react to them. So we have to pay attention to what we're focused on. And we all end up facing a lot of the same challenges. But how we look at these challenges is going to design how our life is affected by these challenges. But it's going to be our choice. Caleb was 80 years old. And he had already been right to the edge of the promised land once. And his buddies come back and they said, no. You know, before when he was young, he was sent in as a spy, and they said, no, there are giants in there. And so he didn't get to go into the promised land that time. But he finally got there, and he is 80 years old. And he said, I'm ready to go in there and take that mountain. I'm going to whip those giants. I'm going to go after them. I'm going to get this. This is mine. God has already given it to me. See, he had a different perspective. He was looking at things through the eyes of faith. His buddies, they looked at things through the eyes of worry and fear. They didn't get to go in. Caleb finally made it. Be anxious for nothing. Don't fret about what somebody else has. They shall soon be cut off. They shall be cut down like the grass and wither as a green herb. Here's another thing right here. Trust. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shall thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. We're going to talk a little bit more about that trust. What are we going to trust in? Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. You know, you got to realize that our air is filled full of false information and lies. You know, one of the coolest ones that's getting exposed right now is everybody has been teaching us forever that if we had tariffs, it'd cause inflation to go crazy. It'd cause our prices to go completely through the roof. They told us that for years. Well, all of a sudden now we got tariffs, and what's happening? If anything, our prices are going down. See, we've been lied to a lot about a lot of stuff. Now, they had told us that these things were facts. Doctors tell us facts a lot. They tell us, you know, you got this weird disease and it's got a name this long. It sounds terrible. And you don't have very much time. You better go get your ducks in a row. And that may be a fact, what they learned out of their five natural senses in science. But it's not the truth. The truth tells us that it's by his stripes you were healed. So he says, with the long life will he satisfy you and show you his salvation. Who are we going to believe? I think we should believe our Creator. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. See, we spent a lot of time, we spent most of our lives learning something. We spent most of our time learning something. And there's a lot of stuff that we've been taught that is not exactly the truth. So sometimes we need to take what we've been taught and lay it to the side and lean under the truth. Amen. Go more with what God says than what the economist says. Go more with what God says than what the doctor says. Who do you want to trust in? A man? Or the man? We can put our faith and trust in God and Jesus and lean unto them. Verse 4 says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Let's have a deep, joyful appreciation for God. You know, a long time ago, somebody said, you know, you should write out a gratitude list. I wanted to slap them. I mean, things were not going good in my life. I wasn't even born again then. Somebody said, you need to write out a gratitude list. Brother, why don't you just shut up? I was miserable. I didn't like anything. Everything was wrong. Everything was bad. Everything was upside down. Nothing was right. And they said, write out a gratitude list. You know, later on, God changes us little bit by little bit, grace by grace. And pretty soon I found out, you know, we can really change our environment and our atmosphere. We can change ourselves. We can change everything about us with gratitude. Start finding things that you're grateful that God has done. You know, that's what Psalms is really about. A lot of times they're praising God, showing Him how grateful they are for the things that He's done. Amen? We do have a lot to be grateful for. One old Indian told me one time, he said, you know, basically, fundamentally, you're okay. He's not miserable. Fundamentally, you're okay. 97% of the things in your life are good. But it's the 3% that's wrong that you're focused on that's messing up your whole life. Oh, wow. Yeah, okay. Well, you know, really, truly, it is. When we focus on our problems, when we focus on our troubles, guess what happens? Those problems and troubles get bigger. And Jesus never once told us to focus on those problems and troubles, did He? You know, the psalmist, they always point us to focus on God. See, praise is not something that we do out of duty. And it's not something that we do to lift up God. I mean, how high are we going to get Him? God gave us praise to fix us. What happens when you start praising God? You get your eyes on God, you get focused on God, and you start praising God, and you're focused on Him, you're thinking about Him, and you're waiting on Him, by the way. You're focused on Him and you're praising God. You know, praise stills the avenger. That's your problem, your trouble. You got your mind off of your trouble and on the answer. One lady used to tell me, she said, "You're pole vaulting over mouse turds." And I thought, gee, this is my problem. This is my big problem. So yeah, it's a mouse turd. You just turn this molehill into a mountain. Well, yeah, when you focus on the problem, it's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. How many of you have sat there and thought about something that really troubled you a lot? Every hand in the world should be up. We sat there and we focus on this problem. And we think about this problem. And then we think about what our friend said about this problem. And then we think about what somebody else said about this problem. This problem just sits there and festers and gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And then pretty soon, people fall into despair and they give up. You know, Jesus told us to talk to our mountain. So we get problems. You know, it's a Bible promise that you're going to have problems. I know that doesn't sound very fun, does it? Jesus said, "In this world you shall have tribulation." I mean, the best word of faith preacher that ever walked the face of this earth told us we was going to have problems. Do you think you're going to get out of problems just because you're born again? No. You're going to have problems. But He said, "Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Okay. We're going to have problems. But Jesus told us in Mark chapter 11, verse 22, 23, and 24, what to do about these problems. He said, talk to that mountain. So our sickness, our poverty, our financial challenges, whatever kind of challenge, juniors running around being an idiot, whatever. Whatever that problem may be, we're supposed to talk to it, not talk about it, right? People have this habit of running around and personalizing these attacks from the devil, actually claiming them as their own. And then running around talking about it. They're feeding their problem. You know, the doctor will say, you know, we have a diagnosis of cancer. And then they'll run home and they say, I've got cancer. What they did, they just claimed it as their own. They took ownership of it. And then they run around talking about it, feeding it, building it up, and building it up. And then pretty soon, whatever diagnosis the doctor gave them is an absolute reality in their life. And Jesus didn't say anything about talking about that cancer at all, did he? He talked to it. He talked to that man. You tell that to be gone in the name of Jesus. And then you run around talking about what God says about you, how you've been healed by his stripes, how with the long life you shall be satisfied. Amen? Now that's real easy in an atmosphere of faith when you're surrounded by a lot of believers and you've just been shouting hallelujah and singing good songs. But what happens when you're in bed at 2 o'clock in the morning and you wake up and you're breathing real hard? And that's all you can think about is that problem. How many have experienced that? Every single one of us has. See, that's when the word of faith has to kick in. That's where the rubber meets the road. When we're out there and we start having those thoughts, you know, see, the devil has absolutely no contact, no access to your spirit. He can't touch your spirit one way at all. But he does have access to your soul. And he shoots these fiery darts at you. These are high things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. See, these are those thoughts that we come up with. You know, you're laying in bed sleeping like a baby, and all of a sudden you wake up, I'm going to die. Or juniors, you got whatever kind of crazy thought that the devil sent your way. You got to take authority over that thing and cast it down in the name of Jesus. Now here's where people end up playing mental basketball with themselves all the time. They think they're going to be the thought with the thought. They just had a bad thought. Oh, I'm going to think about flowers. I'm going to think nice things. No! You're not going to be the thought with the thought. You got to be the thought with the word. You have to say something. That thought hits you, that's a fiery dart. It's obviously not in line with the word of God, right? That's a high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So you have to get out of here in the name of Jesus, and then you say something that God says about you. You know, you'll be laying there and all of a sudden you'll have this thought. You know, the doctor said. That's a high thing. So, no, I don't care. In the name of Jesus, you get out of here. The Bible says, and this is really cool. If you really want to drive it home, say, it is written, by his stripes I was healed. You know, Jesus, he said it is written 3 times when he was dealing with the devil, didn't he? You want to really hit the devil over the head with a sledgehammer, just say, it is written. With the long life will he satisfy me and show me his salvation. Now you get out of here with that thought in the name of Jesus, I'm going back to sleep. And if you just have to, you know, get up, walk around the living room, quoting scripture. Amen? You know, you can really talk to yourself. It's okay. It's okay. You can talk to yourself. And in fact, the Bible instructs us to talk to ourselves. the world tells us not to. Who are you going to believe? The teachers in school? What do they know? Where were they at when God said the world, set the world on its foundations? They weren't anywhere, were they? Our education system doesn't know as much as they think they do. God does. In verse 5, says, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Literally entrust everything to him. See, we get taught early on to be self-reliant. They start teaching us these things in school. When we start growing up, you know, they start teaching us, we got to get out there, you know, when we graduate high school, we got to go to college for 4, 8, 12 years, get a sheepskin, and then we got to go. They tell us how to be self-reliant. They go out there and get a job, and then we're supposed to go get a house mortgage, you know, have 5-bedroom house, 2-car garage, 3.5 kids, and all this stuff. They start teaching us this stuff. What they teach you is how to lead a life of slavery, literally. But we're being self-reliant, right? Well, we're not supposed to be self-reliant. We're supposed to be reliant on God. We're supposed to rely on him. And actually, if we're honest with ourselves, we'll realize that our very next breath depends on him. That there's very little about us that can be successful without him. That's why we should really rely on his grace. Depend on his grace, because we're going to make mistakes. I promise you, every day we're going to make mistakes. But we rely on him, his grace. We look unto him. We believe on Jesus. We believe what he did for us in his passion, his death, burial, his resurrection. We rely on him. You know, this is where people, they want to operate by faith, but they don't want to operate by faith. See, to operate by faith, we're going to have to trust in what we don't know. See, we get taught early on to draw plans. We know, draw out this map of how we want our life to go. Draw out this map of how we want this project to go. Draw out this map of how we want this to go, how this to happen. And then, you know, if something doesn't go right, then we're going to start over. Draw it out again and do it right. No, you know what? You don't own you. Did you know that? You belong to God. And he knows more about you than you do. But people want to pull their hair out, making sure that everything from point A to point B goes exactly straight the way they want. You know, God will have us on this path. It goes all over. Well, that's not God. He makes a straight and narrow path. Straight and narrow path is to heaven. There's only one way to the Father, and that's through the Son. That's the straight and narrow path. You know, we may zig and zag. He may have us a lot of places. I was fortunate enough to be able to trace out this journey of getting me born again. God, all these, and I looked back on my life and I seen all these places that He had set up for me to get born again. And I dodged them, and I dodged them, and I dodged them. And He finally got me to the place where He originally put me. Got born again. He's going to get us where we need to be. We just need to trust in Him. So we can commit our ways unto Him. Verse 6 says, He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Now here's a biggie. Verse 7 says, Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. So we're going to have peace and comfort and serenity in God. We're going to rest in Him. We're going to serve Him. We're going to wait on Him. While we're waiting for something to happen, we're going to wait on Him. Amen? My pastor used to tell me, he said, the Holy Spirit, He'll help you mow the lawn. Yeah, sure, He'll help you mow the lawn. And He'll help you take a nap in the hammock. He's not, however, going to mow the lawn while you take a nap in the hammock. So you're going to have to get up. And you're going to have to do something. Amen? But you're going to have peace in God while you're doing it. You're not going to be worried about all these things that's happening. It's going to happen with or without you. Did you know that? This world is not going to stop spinning because of you. God is going to send rain to the just and the unjust. But He did say, the meek shall inherit the earth. I was really, when I got out of Bible school, I didn't really know what to expect. I thought maybe we'd go have something to do, you know, and a lot of people did. But there wasn't a placement program in our Bible school. You know, they didn't just assign you to a place. And so I thought, well, am I going to go to rodeos or? What am I going to do? You know, and some of them got mad because they didn't get placed. And I thought, well, I don't know what else to do, so I'm going to go down to the county jail and witness to people down there. And some of these people got really mad because they didn't have a place to go. And I said, I don't know what else to do. So I went home and I told God, I said, you know, if you want me to do something, I'm going to be right here working. Until then, I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going to just work and sleep. And then pretty soon He started using me. Just, I got available. Amen? We need to be available to God. If we want to be used by God, we need to be available to God. Availability means we're going to pick up even though it's not convenient. We're going to pick up and go somewhere even though it's not convenient. A lot of people shout hallelujah. They say, use me, God. You can use me anytime you want. God says, okay, I need you to go over here. Now I got to work. Okay. I need you over here on this day. Nah, the kid's got a volleyball game. Okay, well, I need you to come over here for a couple weeks. Oh, man, I'll miss my mortgage payment. Do you see how people take themselves out of the realm of availability by not trusting in the Lord, but they're trusting in what they think they know from what they've learned from the world. Trust in the Lord and lean not unto thine own understanding. If we're going to be available, then we're going to have to believe that verse. Yeah. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way. You know, there's a lot of people, even in churches, there's people get mad because somebody else gets prospered. Don't worry about it. If another Christian gets prospered, shout hallelujah for him. Say, you know, God can prosper him, he can prosper me. Did you know that God prospered him not out of his supply? See, that's how a lot of Christians act. They think, well, there goes my blessing. Junior got it. No, he didn't do it out of his supply. He did it according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, which doesn't operate on the supply and demand thing. There's no end to his supply. He has a never-ending, never-failing source. So don't get mad when another Christian gets prospered. And don't worry about it when somebody evil gets prospered. Remember, trust in the Lord. Have confidence in him. Have peace in him and rest in him. Verse 8, and this will be the last one. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. You know, resentment is not for us. Resentment and anger is not for us. Resentment is something that'll ruin you from the inside out. Resentment is something that will eat away at your insides. God told us to forgive people. Not for their sake, for us. Because he knows what resentment does to us. So them people that are living rent-free in your head, that you keep thinking of ways to get even with them, you need to forgive those guys so you can live in peace. Amen? And then we can go on into this next step that we're going into. You realize we're pretty close, biblically. We think we're somewhere around 2,000 years from when Jesus was here. We had 4,000 years before that. And they talk about a millennial reign. So we think we're somewhere around 6,000 years into this still, right? I don't know exactly, but we got to be pretty close. Jesus did say he's coming back. Let's just cast our eyes upon him. And however the rest of this stuff shakes out is how it shakes out. Well, we're going to be okay in him. Amen? Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for everything you do for us. Father, we thank you that as we wait on you and trust in you, that your word is going to guide us through everything. Holy Spirit is here to teach us and guide us. Show us how to rightfully divide your word of truth. You're going to get us from point A to point B, even though we may bounce off of X, Y, and Z. You're going to get us where we need to be. So as we just look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and trust in him, we can have comfort and rest and peace, knowing that we're going to be just fine in him. Amen and amen. Well, we have coffee and snacks and fellowship back here. Come on back and visit.